You know, Basquiat once said, "I am not a black artist, I am an artist."
That's quite a bold declaration, especially given the rampant racial biases in the art industry.
Definitely. It points towards this profound dilemma. The challenge of being seen for your art, rather than the label assigned to you because of your skin color.
But it makes me wonder, why did Basquiat feel the need to emphasize this in the first place?
That's a good question, Jiwoo. It's probably because he was often labeled as a black or African-American artist, but he wanted to defy such rigid labelings and wanted the world to focus on his creations, not the man behind it.
Quite a difficult task, especially in an industry so entrenched in pre-existing biases.
Unfortunately, yes. But his art, his passion, and his determination broke through those labels and created a space where that was possible, at least to some extent.
And that itself is a testament of his influence on art.
Digging deeper into Basquiat's life, his roots are traced back to the vibrant streets of Brooklyn. Born in 1960, Jean-Michel found treasured inspiration from his Haitian and Puerto Rican heritage. His father, Gerard Basquiat, was an accountant of Haitian descent, while his mother, Matilde, was of Puerto Rican origin. Denny, his elder brother, sadly passed away before he was born.
Such a diverse cultural background must have influenced Jean-Michel's artworks.
Absolutely. As a child, Basquiat was always fascinated by the street art culture in his neighborhood. He started with drawing graffiti under the pseudo-name Samo, short for same old shit, with his schoolmate Al Diaz. These taggings were mainly multi-coded, witty epigrams.
Street art is often the purest form of social expression. I wonder, how did all these influences shape his transition into neo-expressionism?
Great point, Jiwoo. His early years in graffiti writing were like a precursor to his future works. It nurtured his rebellious nature, his characteristic bold and unapologetic artistic style that we come to associate with him in his later years.
And his upbringing in Brooklyn, close to the hip-hop, punk, and street art scene, must have also shaped his creation on canvas.
Undoubtedly, those influences found their way into his art forms. Remember his heroes Charlie Parker and William Burroughs? Their creative energy, too, found echo in his graffiti-filled canvases. And I believe that's what gave birth to this unique iconoclast in the world of neo-expressionist art. So if we look into Basquiat's beginnings, his environment was really soaked in art. It wasn't just about his Haitian and Puerto Rican lineage, but also the urban landscape of Brooklyn that was his playground and classroom.
Interestingly, he wasn't formally trained in arts, is that right?
Yes, you're correct. His primary schooling in the art world started on the streets where he encountered a chorus of vibrant graffiti tags and powerful societal narratives.
That's fascinating. How did all this exposure mold him into a neo-expressionist artist?
The graffiti language became an integral part of Basquiat's visual vocabulary. His early years in graffiti writing essentially evolved his later works. The rebellious and unapologetic artistic style in street arts got infiltrated into his canvas arts, deriving his unique expressionist style.
He must have faced a real cultural shock when transitioning from the versatility of street art to the regulated world of canvas. Shouldn't that have been quite a challenge?
Absolutely, Jiwoo. Canvas was a different game altogether, requiring different set of tools and the ability to navigate the art industry. However, Basquiat, with his audacious spirit, embraced this transition and somehow managed to retain graffiti's raw edge within the conventional boundaries of a canvas. It's this defiance that became his trademark.
So, the essence of his street past was reborn into his iconic neo-expressionist style?
Exactly, Jiwoo. He found a way to seamlessly blend his graffiti roots into his canvas oeuvres, in effect, creating a body of work that breaks away from the norms of contemporary art. His transition was far from smooth, but it is indeed a fascinating journey to explore. Basquiat's powerful transition into neo-expressionism. It was audacious and radical.
Tell me more about how was it radical?
Well, neo-expressionism acted as a revolt, challenging the then-dominant minimalist art form. It found a potent voice in the art community as artists turned to figurative representation, intense colors, and raw, sweeping brushwork that breathed a seething emotionality into their works. Now picture Basquiat. Striding into this nascent movement with graffiti-infused canvases, Merging abstract and figurative aspects, his art was raw, intuitive, expressive. That's why the term neo-expressionism is often associated with him.
So, was Basquiat deliberately challenging the existing norms of that era?
Indeed, his art could be perceived as a bold statement, an artistic lion roaring against societal and artistic expectations. Remember, this was a time when the art world was largely engulfed by minimalist and conceptual art. Basquiat punctuates this sedate ambiance with his explosive creativity.
That must have been electrifying, seeing that disruption.
Absolutely. Just imagine, those tidy galleries featuring minimalist art suddenly echoing with the rawness of Basquiat's work. It was his audacious style that made him a force to reckon with in the contemporary art world.
Did this disruptive style of Basquiat earn him criticism?
Certainly, any form of disruption is bound to spark debates. Some critics viewed his work as too chaotic, or dismissed his graffiti roots as an illegitimate expression of art. Yet, his rebellious energy was exactly what the art world needed to stimulate fresh conversations around racial and social issues.
Let me put myself in Basquiat's shoes. He's already made a name for himself as a graffiti artist, but now he wants to transition to the fine art world. To achieve that, he had to challenge the norms and venture into a new artistic style. Sometimes I wonder how he juggled and married the two, the graffiti and neo-expressionism. Did Basquiat exercise a specific process for this unorthodox artistic approach, Andrew?
That's a fascinating question, Jiwoo. As graffiti artist Samo, Basquiat was accustomed to using an assortment of urban detritus, from abandoned buildings to trains. His canvas, the gritty urban landscape, was filled with hurried images and subversive epigrams, illuminating socio-political issues of the time. However, transitioning from the irregular terrain of street graffiti to the smooth surface of a formal canvas, while maintaining this provocative spontaneity, would have been a significant creative leap.
I can't even begin to imagine the creative stamina it requires to harness such a significant change while ensuring it feels authentic and personal. This interplay between graffiti and neo-expressionism must have shaped his development as an artist.
Absolutely. This evolution in style also included a myriad of different elements. For example, his pioneering usage of line, color, and imagery was distinctly radical. The rough-hewn lines, pulsating planes of rugged, vibrant colors, and cryptic symbology that swim across his canvas. They all had roots intertwined with his graffiti background, carrying his urban grittiness into the refined realm of contemporary art.
And all these elements converge into his unique neo-expressionist style. It's like a branch of the art that's inherently ingrained with Basquiat's essence. We really need to pay homage to his exceptional ability to transmute his roots in a fashion that transcends the boundaries of space and time.
Indeed, Jiwoo. His explosive blend of raw strokes, emotive colors, and emblematic imagery gave his works a compelling complexity that resonates even today. What's more, this unique style made him an icon, and his works a luminous beacon in the vast universe of neo-expressionism. Now, let's orient our attention towards Basquiat's recognizable motifs. Crowns, skulls, cryptic symbols, fragmented anatomical diagrams. These visuals dominated his work. Have you ever wondered why a crown? It's frequently assumed as a symbol of power or prestige, isn't it, Jiwoo?
Completely. The crown is definitely a prevalent symbol of power. But when it comes to Basquiat, I've also viewed it as a representation of success distilled through his own experiences. It's his way of conveying the triumph of these African-American figures despite societal indifference.
Right. But these crowns were not handed to these figures, they earned it, echoing his battles, his grit, and the audacity to declare greatness against all odds. Now let's move on to another motif, the skulls. This deeply rooted African symbol, evoking connections to ancestral connections, spirituality, and the transient nature of life, was ubiquitous in his works.
What strikes me about the skulls, though, is a sense of foreboding. I can't help but relate them to Basquiat's own tragic fate. Then there are the cryptic symbols and fragmented anatomical diagrams, which are a bit elusive for me. they prompt more questions, which might have been his intention. What are your thoughts, Andrew?
That's an interesting observation, Jiwoo. Basquiat often merged text and imagery, which resulted in a charged visual speech, stimulating minds and challenging perceptions. These diagrams and symbols took a life of their own, evolving into mysterious codes, pressing viewers to decipher them, thereby placing them in a similar frame of undefined identity, just like he felt.
So, these symbols and diagrams served as visual languages, expressing Basquiat's views about identity, while generating an artistic dialogue. They embody a rawness, a truth layered with complexity, not unlike the artist himself. It's impressive how he echoed his African roots through these visual narratives, creating a dynamic, vibrant, and at times intense artistry.
Jiwoo, these motifs we're discussing, they somehow cry out African-American louder than words. How do you think Basquiat managed to cleverly use these familiar symbols to recount a narrative that's so much bigger than the canvases themselves?
Well, Andrew, these aren't just symbols. They are Basquiat's multidimensional voice echoing off the canvas with undertones of his heritage. Furthermore, they tell a forgotten or overlooked narrative that's beautifully gripping in their simplicity.
There is something incredibly reflective about it. The cryptic symbols, for instance, they create a direct line of connection between his African roots and the urban culture he embraced growing up in multicultural Brooklyn. Those symbols formed his visual lingua franca, speaking volumes about the African diaspora in New York as the melting pot.
It's truly moving how he could convey so much through his art. Imagine the audacity to be vested in such social dialogues when the world was miles away from concepts like diversity and inclusion. His art was a courageous assertion of his identity. It was his badge of honor.
And it's not just his identity he was asserting. Look at the crown symbol. It seems to be his shout-out to African-American heroes who dared to conquer adversity, who wore their identity like a crown despite the world trying to shroud it. He gave them the royal treatment they were long denied.
Exactly. His art pieces are more than just paintings. They are poignant historical narratives stamped onto canvas. They demand your attention and coerce you into considering his perspective. He didn't just create art. He built a mirror for the society to look at themselves.
And perhaps that's exactly what makes his art relevant even today. His motifs never were, nor will they ever be just decorations on a canvas. They are Basquiat's enduring voice, a provocative reminder to society, unembellished and unapologetic. It's a testament to how art can create such profound dialogues. Don't you think, Jiwoo?
Absolutely. Basquiat forged a new path in the art world with this approach. He made the canvas his battleground and the brush his weapon. It definitely redefines how we perceive art itself.
Jiwoo, I can't get over how Basquiat's art screams societal unrest.
It's powerful, isn't it? The art world hadn't seen anything like it at the time.
Absolutely. His art was a jarring display of the societal paradigms of the time. You see his work and you're forced to rethink existing power structures and racial prejudices.
Certainly, his art was far from being just a reflection of himself. I would argue it spoke for a whole community that was largely ignored or misrepresented.
That's what sets him apart. He had a prodigious talent to articulate what many couldn't put into words. He was a conduit for societal criticisms, using his brush strokes to shed raw, unadulterated light on burning issues.
Andrew, do you think his raw portrayal of racism and class struggle had any bearing on how the art scene viewed him?
I would believe so, Jiwoo. His truth was unsettling to some and enlightening to others. He struck a chord by candidly addressing themes others veered away from.
And I think this conscious defiance of societal norms and industry expectations really set the ground for many of the contemporary artists today, wouldn't you say?
I couldn't agree more. How often do you come across an artist who is not afraid of derailing established norms, to speak their mind, to give a voice to the voiceless? Basquiat did that and so much more. Jiwoo, what strikes me about Basquiat's art is how much it intersects with his identity and heritage. It's like he was constantly wrestling with who he was, isn't it?
I think you're onto something, Andrew. His art does resonate with that struggle. And it's not just the struggle of a single individual, but perhaps a collective struggle of an entire community. Think about his depiction of African-American culture and the struggles faced by the Black community during his time.
Absolutely, you can see it in his use of crowns, a recurrent motif in his work. He placed crowns on both revered jazz musicians as well as anonymous Black citizens, symbolically elevating them to nobility and challenging common racial stereotypes. It was his silent protest.
A direct challenge to racial stereotypes. That's an interesting way to see it. He was revisiting the concept of Black identity, reinterpreting it using his art as his platform. A somewhat defiant movement, wouldn't you say?
Definitely defiant, but also quite complex. You see, it wasn't just about resistance. It was also about self-exploration. There must be something very intense about embarking on that kind of journey, given the societal pressures he was under.
I can imagine it must have been quite a tumultuous journey, one that was reflected in his artwork. In fact, I think it's fair to say that his exploration of identity and heritage was what made his art so universal and powerful. After all, isn't identity struggle something we all can resonate with?
Absolutely. It adds a layer of emotional connection to his work. His story continues to speak to us all. One of Basquiat's most significant collaborations was with none other than the pop art superstar Andy Warhol. Now, isn't that an unexpected duo?
Unexpected, but fascinating indeed. On one side, there's Warhol, who is already an established figure in the pop art scene. And on the other, you have Basquiat, a gritty underground artist, still carving his own path. It's like a collision of two different galaxies.
A beautiful explosion of creativity, if you ask me. You know, Jiwoo, I've always wondered what might have prompted these two brilliantly distinct artists to cross paths. What's your take on that?
Well, it's intriguing, isn't it? But maybe that's exactly why. Perhaps their contrasting styles intrigued them. Warhol, almost mechanical, often impersonal. Basquiat, on the other hand, raw, emotive, introspective. Yet, when these styles merged, it produced something utterly unique and complementary.
Artistic contrasts forging a common creative ground. That's a perspective. How do you think this collaboration might have shaped Basquiat's trajectory?
That's complex, Andrew. On one hand, it elevated Basquiat's status in the art world. By aligning with Warhol, he gained more visibility and credibility. However, some critics suggest it also led to a dilution of his original style.
A sacrifice for mainstream recognition, perhaps, yet an interesting one. It does make you wonder what more would have emerged if they had continued their partnership.
Who knows, Andrew? Perhaps more avant-garde masterpieces, or maybe even a shift in the global art landscape itself. The realm of what could have been remains unexplored.
Jiwoo, now I wonder, what if Warhol and Basquiat had spent more years together? Could you imagine that?
Well, Andrew, the art world might have witnessed a whole new era of avant-garde creations.
Or perhaps we'd have seen Basquiat trading in his paintbrush for one of those Warholian wigs.
Haha, a wig-wearing Basquiat. I bet his graffiti would have had a fashionable edge then.
Absolutely. And maybe Warhol would have picked up a spray can, hitting the streets of New York for some late-night graffiti sessions.
The notorious duo turning the city into their canvas. But realistically speaking, they could have truly redefined the landscape of contemporary art.
Their joint venture could have pushed boundaries, transforming not just their individual styles, but also shaking up the very foundation of art as an industry. It really gets you thinking, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Andrew. Their partnership was an embodiment of dynamism, challenging norms, and ushering in fresh perspectives. It's hard not to ponder on the wealth of creativity their prolonged journey together could have unearthed.
Sadly, we'll never know. But it's fun to speculate and imagine a world of art shaped by a longer Warhol-Basquiat collaboration. Our creative dynamo, Jean-Michel Basquiat, tragically died at just 27. He was engulfed by addiction, with a drug overdose marking the halt of a short but intense career, didn't he?
Indeed, Andrew. His death shocked the world, and it created a media frenzy, portraying Basquiat as the quintessential tragic artist. Works that were once criticized were hailed as masterpieces. It was as if his art was suddenly viewed through a different lens.
The media just loves a tragic story. But really, it's the legacy Basquiat left behind that's the remarkable part. Despite his brief career, his art has had a lasting impact on the contemporary art scene, pushing boundaries and challenging norms.
And importantly, his works continue to resonate with many because they address fundamental societal issues. In a way, his art is a reflection of our society, bringing to light the unheard narratives and prompting dialogues about race, identity, power, and more.
Absolutely, Jiwoo. And what's striking is that his art continues to captivate the collections of modern art enthusiasts and museums, fetching staggering auction prices. It's a testament to the lasting appeal and relevance of his work.
They say artists never die, they live through their art. And Basquiat's legacy is a powerful testament to that. It's evocative, provoking, and incredibly alive.
So, Jiwoo, let's consider some comparisons between Basquiat and other artists of his time. It's important, don't you think? Especially in understanding the shift in artistic narratives that played out during the 80s and onwards.
I'm with you there, Andrew. Besides, who doesn't love a good comparative analysis? Or at least I know I do in my countdown to marathon training.
Well, on the surface, Basquiat's contemporaries like Keith Haring, David Salles, and Julian Schnabel also veered towards expressive compositions. But there's an intensity to Basquiat's paintings, a rawness that feels authentic. Would you agree?
Yes, the intensity. I think that's the right word for it. Take Haring, for example. His works also used public spaces like streets and subways, similar to Basquiat's own beginnings. His works were certainly expressive and incorporated social messages. But Basquiat's art, it was like an open wound expressing pain, frustration, and truth in a way that I believe was unparalleled.
Yes, the emotions, the pain, the struggle, they jump out at you. There's that immediate, visceral human connection, you know? It's like peering into the depths of the societal abyss through his work. Now, let's move forward and look at the potential influence of Basquiat on future artists.
I can't help but think of Cause. Brian Donnelly, known as Cause, initially began his career resembling Basquiat's early years, tagging walls and billboards. Like Basquiat, he also found a path to international acclaim.
Exactly. Cause represents one of the juxtapositions of Basquiat, evolving from graffiti to a phenomena encompassing fashion, toys, and art collaborations at large. I believe Basquiat would have admired Cause expansion into various forms of popular culture.
It's fascinating, Andrew, how art is influenced, how it evolves yet, embodies echoes of its predecessors. I wonder what new artists will take inspiration from these vibrant stories in the future.
Jiwoo, we've analyzed his works, his influences, the symbolism, his societal criticism, but there's a side of Basquiat's life which is often overlooked.
Oh, yes?
His immense love for literature and music. Libraries were his sanctuaries, and he was known to have an eclectic collection of books. His intellectual curiosity pushed him beyond the confines of the formal education he left early.
How fascinating. This is new to me. And the music?
Basquiat was a huge music lover. Music ran deep in his veins, from jazz to bebop to punk to hip-hop. He was into it all. In fact, he even performed in an industrial sound band, Grey.
An artist and a musician. That must have informed his art in some way.
Absolutely. His love for music and literature might be why Basquiat's works featured so many words, phrases, and his signature, almost cryptic, poetic fragments are influenced by his wide-ranging readings. It seems like his cultural influences came from everything around him. I think one reason Basquiat's work still fascinates the world today is his undisputed rawness. Don't you agree, Jiwoo?
Actually, I'm pondering his antithetical theme. He was challenging society in his own visual language. And that language still captures our attention.
That's a fantastic point. From his Samo graffiti to his canvases, his art worked as a mirror, reflecting the social, racial, and cultural issues he had experienced. His art didn't just represent the voiceless. It screamed for them.
Indeed, his narrative was about being heard, about standing have a voice against systemic injustices. That emotion resonates so powerfully that I believe it's particularly relevant in our present era of amplifying marginalized voices.
And it's intriguing how his art makes us confront our own biases. This was a man who said, "I am not a black artist. I am an artist. That declaration still challenges our inherent stereotypes.
Exactly. His art isn't just to be appreciated. It is to introspect our own prejudiced notions, to question societal norms. Even after his death, Basquiat continues to inspire and instigate thoughts. It urges us to view the world differently.
I believe Basquiat was a trailblazer, an artist whose impact transcends time and space. His art is a weapon against the established norms, a beacon for moving the ever-shifting paradigm. Down to the last stroke of his brush, he was indeed a true meaning of an artist.